and now a lesbian cellist.
You are beautiful in your occlusion. How can I not want to unlock you? I am a safe cracker listening at keyholes for the other pin to drop, picking at clasp like irresistible scab. You are beautiful in your pollution. The way smog creates the most breathtaking sunsets. You are perfection in your flaws, off-kilter, an odd number. I can't help but double with all of my shortcomings, resolving everything, and you are redoubly beautiful in resolution. You are beautiful in your confusion. Gloriously juxtaposed on the backdrop of my single-minded decisiveness. Meanwhile, I'm moving mountains which haven't yet found you to arrive at your side in the still of the night, cloaked in glowing obsidian, one atom loosed. Wrapped in radioactive alabaster, I sat in static, charged like electric, charged like accused. This is irreducible truth. You knew this before you knew this, before you knew me. You undo me like knots, honest you do. You send me terrified like letters, and I smile. I am reconciled to this newness. From southwest cusp of my bed to north star far, tattoo Ptolemaic astronomic cartography across my body. Unbox this constellation, for better or worse. There is an epicenter to my rickety Richter universe. Meaning, you render me trembling unprecedented, and you, you are beautiful in your frustration. Just you wait. I will make you come around.
Mitchell can. Hello? Why don't I hear nothing? Damn it. Hold on. I don't hear no can. Can. Oh, maybe that. Now do I hear something, or is it your fault? Hello? I don't hear a goddamn thing from this whore. Jesus Christ on a stick. I got the input in. I got the output. I think it's her fault. Folk. Peter Folk. Where you at, Biatch? What a cunt. Sorry, I shouldn't use the C word when my lips hurt like this. God is punishing me for lips. Lips? Listen, this is you, not me. This is your fault. Do you hear me? I don't hear you. And since you are the dumb one, I must assume it's your fault. Sorry, Sharon Falk. Oh, okay, she said my shit is fucked up. Hurry and figure it out. Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Can you hear me? You hear me? Hello, you hear me? Well, I'm already recording the program. How do you like that? It's, well, then why don't you hurry up and get your vocalizer to work? After all, You're a poet. Your instrument is your voice. So why don't you go ahead and use the thing? Yeah, but you have to talk. Now she's getting angry with me. I don't like it, she says. Thingy majiggy, come on. Come on. Get it going. Get it going on. Get it going on. Jesus Christ, is this going to have to be a Cheryl intervention again? That's too late for Cheryl. Tresky, do you have food? Whatever. I don't know what's... I'm not going to call her any nasty names. Yes, I am. Hello?
Can you hear me now?
Oh, thank the Christ. Yes, I hear you.
Yeah, thank God. I'm sure
I was so worried to not be able to hear you and my pilgrim. Wow, I got a Rachel Cann on the line. What?
Hi.
Hi, you sound spiffy.
I'm not. I'm in a bad mood.
You are not in a bad mood.
Yes, I am.
Yeah, I don't believe you. It's fake.
I'm in a fucking bad mood. It is not fake.
It's fake. I can tell it in your voice. It's a fake bad mood.
Chris, come tell Madge it's real. I'm really in a bad
mood.
You
are not in a bad mood. Is it your period?
He thinks I'm being like cute, like telling a fucking joke.
She's really in a bad mood, Madge.
Is it period? Bloat?
No, exactly. Chris, say that again.
Is it the bloat?
No, listen.
Is it the bloke? What? I didn't hear. I didn't hear. He's not talking loud enough.
Well, he's British.
What did he say?
I'm fasting 1 week late for Yom Kippur, 2 weeks late.
Did you hear my funny joke? I said, is it the bloat or is it the bloke?
No, it's very funny, but I'm fasting. I'm doing a cleanse.
Well, you know what? If you're starving yourself to death because you're an anorexic Jew, how is that my problem?
It's not your problem. And if I was an anorexic Jew, I would love the feeling of fasting. I'd think it was great and be full of a fucking heady sense of power.
Are you getting a colon cleanse tomorrow or one of those bowel movement, whatever they call it, with the scopes?
No.
The scopes trial. The scopes trial.
You mean where they check a colonoscopy?
The scopes trial, I call it, yes.
No, I am not getting a colonoscopy. Mm-hmm.
What about can you please refer to it by its new nickname?
Scopes.
A scopes trial.
I'm not getting a scopes trial.
Yay. So listen, before we get to me, I would like to know what happened with Christopher last week and what drugs you were doing.
Okay. Christopher does not. He's one of the most clean, pure people I've ever seen.
Hold the thought. I got to feed the dog. Sorry, I just got home. And if I don't do
Such
this, he'll hate
asshole.
Me.
Asshole. If what? It's not you,
no,
bitching,
no, 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 no. I'm a whore. I'm a bitch. You can yell at me. Hold on.
Sing the song.
I don't want to sing a song. I'm in a bad fucking mood. And I'll tell you this much. I'm pissed off at Mac with their goddamn new fucking stupid ass new MacBooks. Babe, come here, please. Christopher. Come
here. I got sunshine. I got prolapse. Who could ask for anything, whore? Who could ask for? Hello?
Hi, Matt.
Sorry, go ahead.
Well, there's a lot I want to say, but what I most want to talk about right now is that I'm really pissed off about the new MacBook kosher.
You're pissed off about the MacBook K because it's a kosher without a firewire pork?
Yeah, because you know what? You know, I just got a new computer like 5 minutes before the new one came out.
How much longer? How many weeks before?
Like, not that many. I don't even know. What was the date the new MacBook even
came out? Because, shithead, if it's less than 2 weeks, Apple has a policy. They'll let you exchange it.
I know if it's less than 2 weeks. But you know what? I'm a Jew. I don't want to exchange it for the new one. I just want the $500 back they're now charging mine for, $999.
Oh, well, then you have to be super Jew, and you go and you say, I want the upgrade, and you figure out and you finagle it.
Well, you know what? I might not even have to finagle anything because get this.
Oh,
my
Christ.
USB ports aren't even friggin' working. That's why my fucking mic isn't working when I talk to you.
Wow. Well, why would you want the new one that doesn't have a firewire pork?
I don't want the new one. I want my $500 back I spent.
Then call them and ask for it.
I'm going to, but I just did.
Wow.
Well, you while you were getting your vagina eaten out.
Called Mac. We haven't gotten to my vagina.
I called Mac and I said, you know what? And the guy said, how are you today? And I said, to tell you the truth, I'm feeling a little bit sad because I just bought this Mac.
Yeah.
And now you have your damn new Mac. And he was very, very rude to me, Madge. And first he said, no, first he goes, well, when did you get it exactly? And I said, in September. And he goes, well, that's not exactly 5 minutes before it came out. And why are you just calling now? Because the Mac, the new MacBook didn't just come out. And I go, well, pardon me if I don't spend my life beating off the fucking pictures of the new Mac on their fucking one piece of aluminum Coke can goddamn computer. I have other things to do in my life, like nurse my ailing boyfriend back to health. Besides fucking spooging for new Mac models, okay, fucker?
You
That's
got that
number
right.
one.
That's exactly how I would have said it, seriously.
Number two.
Number two is a big log
when
of duty.
When did the new Mac come out? Do you even know? Does anyone
week ago,
know?
It was a week ago yesterday. Yeah, because I am one of the
Fuck him. It's not that long ago.
It was exactly 8 days ago.
What a prick. Screw him.
Yeah.
So then he goes, well, what did he say next, babe? Chris isn't listening to me. Can you blame him?
I don't blame him, but I'm listening.
No, I know. I don't blame him.
But if you were talking like that, you were being rude, too. I mean,
no, I didn't really say that. I was being sweet, actually.
Well, you should have, because then he would have appreciated it. Okay.
It wasn't going to help me with goddamn Francisco. But did you see, okay, Madge, did you see the comments on our birthday show where that person put the clip from the Susie Orman YouTube thing?
Yes.
Did you watch it?
Yes.
Is that not my voice exactly?
It totally is. It freaked my shit out.
And
I really
it's like
thought
a 21-year-old gay boy.
No, that was you.
It was not me. Had it been
it was
me,
you.
Suze would have saved me from my fucking certain doom and destruction. That was my
Suze.
Mac they were showing on the screen.
Suze being.
Good old Suze would have hooked me up.
Suze being.
Suze was like, don't buy it. She was like, do not buy that computer. That's what she told
But
Louise,
that was
the
how, why are you pretending that wasn't you on Suze?
I wish it was, Madge. I wish it was.
Did she tell him not to buy it?
She said, do not buy that computer. She was like, do not buy that. You have too much debt. You
Rachel,
do not get a new computer.
Rachel, I hate to be the one to tell you this. But if you, when you called her, she gave you the right advice and you didn't listen to it. You're a stupid bitch.
I wish that was true. But
I wish I could call you
this?
The proper gender, but I can't think of a good, even though you're a man. Dickhead, no, bitch. Sorry, sir. But you are a stupid
You know what?
Bitch.
I'm very sensitive right now. I'm not feeling very happy. I haven't eaten all day. All
listen,
I can think about
listen,
is
the same thing happened to me. The same thing happened to me, or a similar thing happened to me with because, you know, I received from this generous listener, Wayne Henley, what do you call it? iPod Touch the very same day the new ones came out. So I returned it to Amazon and I got, they sent a credit and I got a different one.
Well, guess what? My computer, the USB port isn't even working.
Okay, Suze. When did you buy that computer? I'm not Apple whore. Don't worry. I'm not going to bite your head off. Well, I will.
I know. It's okay. You can bite my
Tell
head off.
Tell me the date
it was
you bought
like
it.
September 1st, literally.
Well, that is 6 weeks. That doesn't fall within the grandfather clause of lesbian jism. So you're
well,
fucked.
Well, it's still shit because I asked them when I went in there and I said, look, do you guys have anything new coming out? Because I don't want to get fucked.
Yeah. You know what, Rachel, I hate to say this, but you're fucked.
I am not fucked because you know what? They have to because my goddamn USB port
Why
doesn't
work didn't
and
you
I'm
ask me?
Care.
Why do you what? Have to ask Suze? I'm hurt. Why don't you ask me? I would have told you. I keep up on all this shit. I knew when the new ones were coming out. Why do you have to ask Suze instead
God
of me?
It. I wish that I had my head resting in Suze's ample
Seriously,
bosom right now.
You didn't
right
even tell me you were getting a new computer. Why did you withhold this information? Huh?
We weren't even talking yet, Madge. We hadn't even connected yet.
You mean this devastation has been going on less than 6 weeks?
Yes.
Oh, God, I can't take it. It feels like it's been an eternity. of Rachel, the shoemaker's
daughter.
This is
only like week four. It's our month anniversary.
Hold
today.
On, I got to do a soliloquy. Rachel, she can hardly see. She's almost blind. The way she sees and the way he looks, it's a perfect match. Did a little lump. Go ahead.
It's a perfect relationship. You can't see him. You can't see me. Remember that one?
Remember that I was just at Beatnik's shopping with these trannies. You wouldn't fucking believe these trannies. Shopping for Halloween costumes with a bunch of trannies on the across the street from the club where they're actually performing the Night of 100 Drag Queens. It was hell. But let me tell you something. You know what music they were playing? Retro television commercials. They were playing I'd like to buy the world a Coke on the
I like that commercial. It's good.
Well, then you're a moron.
It reminds me of my childhood back when it.
Well, congratulations. Can you pick something that's not advertising a product to remember your childhood? Can you?
No.
Do you have to support a beverage that ruins your teeth and steals water from people in India? Now, what happened? What happened with Chris?
I was raised by television. It's not my fault.
Okay, talking heads. But what happened to Chris? For once, can we step outside of this misery that is your MacBook?
Chris was not on any pills. He is a clean, living Reiki healer.
He doesn't
remember?
Do any drugs? Well, I knew he's Reiki. I didn't know that means you don't drugs.
No, I mean, Madge.
Tell me what happened.
I have to sneak around to buy non-organic fruit, okay?
A lot of fruit and organic people smoke pot. You're telling me you and him don't smoke the reefers?
No, yes, that's what I'm telling
and you.
You
don't tweak with crystal meth and cocaine?
No, he does not do crystal meth and cocaine.
Okay, no, I'm kidding. So what happened? Why did he have an irregular heartbeat?
Really, really bad. Maybe he'll come talk with this, too. Christopher, would you like what?
Look. Unless you have two microphones, this thing where you switch back and forth drives me the fucking nuts.
Okay, well, he doesn't want to talk to you anyway, so that works out. So
okay.
Listen.
Yeah.
So on my birthday, I had a very little, very mellow gathering.
We were there. The audience was with you. We were there in the room. We talked to Beatrix. We talked to the Chinese monkey.
Beatrix. Oh, my God.
Gretchen, what was her name?
Bridget.
Bridge chip. What did I say?
Beatrix and Gretchen do combine to kind of make Bridget.
I loved her, though. I thought about her all week. You know, she saved my life, that girl. Her advice was so good.
She's
and I'm
great.
Dead serious.
No, I know. She's the.
I talked about her in one of my Seattle Sutton Anonymous meetings. I swear to God. What she said was pure gold to me.
No, she's one of my best friends on the planet, dude. I love her.
I'm not so sure about the girl with the monkey costume, but okay, what's one for two ain't bad. But I was with you in the gathering, so you needn't relive that. Tell us what happened to Chris. We don't need any more build-up.
Everybody has left.
It's not a short story, and thank you very much. I got the book, and I love the book, and I love the chocolate. I ate them in 10 seconds. Oh, my God. Those things are great. I shoved them right up my fucking mouth. I got the mail and I saw, oh, this is the fucking thing. And I was on my way out of the house. Oh my God. I said, this is fucking it. And I took, and I said, oh my God, she did put the chocolate in. Oh, I pulled it out, you know, cause I was on my way out. I left the book in the other chocolate pie, and I just ripped it open like that fucking Willy Wonka in the fucking chocolate factory. You know, I just ripped the fucking thing open like Veruca. And I just shoved it in my face as I walked down Hutchinson Street, the street with the mansions. Mm-hmm. And it was good.
Oh, is the flake bar
the best? No, yeah.
Chris, Madge got her package from me. Us.
And
right?
And I've been reading the book where it's right next to my most sacred of reading places, the toilet.
Really?
Of course.
They're good toilet length stories. They're good for poo.
Very
nice
good.
Poo.
Well, I shit faster, but that's okay. I love the book. Thank you very much for sending it. Now, what happened?
Wait, promise we could talk about flake and chocolate.
I will
type
it in my computer internet thing to make notes. Flake, chocolate. Oh, no, I wrote flack. It's not flack. Flake, chocolate, but that's the same.
And my book.
Book. Mod Podge. Okay. Go ahead.
Okay, so everybody has left the party. It was like... Chris is so sensitive and thoughtful that he waited till after my birthday was officially over. It was like 12:15. And I'm a little concerned because you remember Anna Paquin in X-Men?
Uh-huh. Sure. I watch X-Men. I read it. No, I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
Anna Paquin was the little girl from The Piano.
Okay.
She won an Oscar. She's Australian, remember?
No. But I understand now that.
Well, in X-Men, her superhero secret power, for some reason, like when she would like touch somebody, they would like have heart failure and drop dead and like be frozen, burned alive.
Okay. Got it.
So I'm pretty sure that I am like evil and everything I touch
dies.
Right.
Of course, it's your fault because everything revolves around you.
Yeah. Thanks for making it into something like that.
Yeah.
When I was busy talking about how sweet Christopher was for being so gracious to wait till after midnight.
Oh, so now it's my fault because I was the one doing the pogrom.
No.
It's Madge's fault because I was occupying you when you could have been taking care of your husband. Thank God he lived, or else I'd never hear the end of it.
That's not what I was saying.
Oh, okay. Go ahead.
So anyway, we were sitting around. It was like 12:06, and he just was like, I don't feel well. And to tell you the truth, he did have two beers. He drinks like organic oatmeal beer, not anymore.
Right.
But he had had two beers at like,
which was probably contaminated with the ergot fungus because they don't have any sanitation in those products.
It was not.
I'll shut up. Go ahead. Don't listen.
Ergo. That was a good one.
That was hilarious as hell.
Hilarious. So anyway, that was like 5 hours earlier. So we're sitting on the couch and he just was like, I feel fucking weird, like fucked up. And, you know, I'm like, are you sure you're not just having some kind of meltdown, freak out, panic attack?
Right.
What's going on? He's like, no, I feel very fucked up. He's like, I need to lie down. So we went to the bedroom and he laid down.
Yeah.
And he was starting to get pale. Oh, and I was like, well, I've still seen people have anxiety attacks and get a little pale. You know what I mean? Because he's like, I think we need to call an ambulance. And I'm like,
what were his symptoms?
His heart was racing. He felt his heart racing. Like things that could have been a heart attack or an anxiety attack. You know what I mean? So I just
but
was
he's
like,
not
babe,
a Jew.
I know. But he is British.
You mean some people actually have. That's the thing about anxiety attacks. Like when you have them,
it
makes get so much worse because it could be a heart attack. And then you're like, okay, so go ahead. So he had
that's
a racing heart.
So, yeah, so he had a lot of, he was dizzy, he was nauseous, he was feeling a little bit disoriented.
Yeah.
His heart was racing, he said, and I was like, all right, babe, I will call an ambulance if you're for sure, but, like, I'm just going to say, like, back in my, like, early days, I had a few tragedies calling 911 on LSD and things like that back in my youth, you know what I mean? I'm like, let's make sure.
So you were on
real.
LSD.
Hmm?
So you were in LSD last week.
I was not on LSD. Chris had taken 5 hits of acid. I'm glad you finally understand what I'm saying.
Okay.
No, Chris was sober. He had had 2 beers at 7 p.m.
Mm-hmm.
He's not feeling well. I'm like, are you sure you want me to call an ambulance? He's like, for real? I'm like, all right. He's pale still. And then I looked at his fingernails and they were like blue, turning
God.
Black.
Yes, you call the ambulance. Yes.
Yeah, call fucking 911. So I call the ambulance. And because we live in Santa Monica now, not Hollywood, they were here in like literally 5 minutes. And like all these weird, like soap star looking, you know, EMT guys like pile out. And then they like put all these monitors on him. And he already, by the time the ambulance got there, he was like, you know what? I'm starting to feel better.
Yeah,
not like he was like ready to go run a fucking quick mile,
right,
but
you know he's safe. So
yeah, that's what
he's
I was
got
thinking.
The soap opera stars,
right? He's feeling good now. So they're like, you know, your heartbeat is regular enough that we think we need to take you in. And I'm like, all right, here we go, let's go. You know, great. I don't even have a frigging car, so I don't even. I have to fucking. I would not ride in the ambulance with him anyway. I want to be with him. So I go in the ambulance, but they won't let me sit in the back like they do in the movies. I have to sit in the front.
Yeah.
So he's like in the back, and I'm like, is he okay? I don't know what the fuck is going on.
And they're like, shut up already.
No, I wasn't saying anything. I was so scared.
Yeah. Okay.
Because fucking just my luck, like somebody actually loves me. I finally find love, like somebody loves me.
Listen,
then I fucking Anna Paquin kill them, you know?
Nobody understands that better than me.
I know, Maggie.
So go ahead.
Love you. So I was very concerned. So we get to the hospital and they pull him out and he's still alive and everything, which is great. And then they put him, you know, put all these monitors on him, blah, blah, blah. And like, super long story short, it's pretty much what I emailed you, but not that everyone in your listening audience reads my emails. So super long story short is he was having atrial fibrillation, which means that the top ventricles were not beating. They weren't like having a nice squeeze heartbeat. They were just kind of like loose and fluttering. You know what I mean?
Because was there a blockage somewhere?
No, there's no blockage, but the concern is that once that starts happening, that blood can pool there. And then when your heartbeat goes back to normal, a clot can form very easily and give you a stroke, like lickety-split.
So why would that happen in the first place?
Well, that's what they don't really know for sure.
Did he have a heart attack?
No, I mean, he went into, it was not a heart attack because his heart didn't stop beating. He was in atrial fibrillation. That's what actually happened. But the danger of him having a heart attack or a stroke after that happens is extremely high. It, not now, like in those following times after, right? So they're like, okay, so what we're going to do is give you medication to try to get your heartbeat back to normal. But meanwhile, give you a lot of blood thinners, like, you know, intravenously.
Right.
To like, so that when your heartbeat does go back to normal, the chance of a clot is that much less likely, but at least you're in the best place possible if you do have a stroke or whatever. Great. Right. So at this point, it's like,
so what
were
they
doing?
What was, so they're giving blood thinners to prevent the clot. What were they doing to slow down the heartbeat?
Not slow down, to get a heartbeat going. Two medications intravenously. First, trying to make the to give him a blood thinner, and another one to
try
to, like...
Are you sure
that's
not a heart attack?
Yes.
Okay.
They would have told us.
I don't know. Okay.
No, to have a heart attack, your heart stops.
Uh-huh.
His heart never stopped completely. The bottom ventricles were beating.
Yeah.
The atria at the top were fluttering.
Yeah, okay.
You don't know what causes it.
Uh-huh.
I mean, there's different things that could cause it. It could have been the two beers he had 5 hours earlier. He also had coffee at lunch, which I didn't know he wasn't supposed to have caffeine, because he had a similar episode like this 8 years ago, but it was like nowhere near this bad.
Uh-huh.
He was in the hospital for like 6 hours or 12 hours. How long were you in the first time, babe? 12 hours, and they got his heartbeat back to normal. So at that point, they were like, no caffeine, no alcohol, which he followed religiously. And then, you know, slowly had a beer here and there. You know, he doesn't drink a lot. Like, he barely drinks at all. He doesn't drink at all anymore. But, like, even before this, he'd drink, like, maybe 3 beers a week, maybe a glass of wine. I mean, really, he did. He's, like, the purest, cleanest living person I personally know in the world, except you, now that you do yoga.
Right.
But even he wouldn't shove a whole flake bar in his mouth at once. He would, like, eat it slowly. Unlike me, I would eat 5.
Of course.
So anyway, he's not supposed to be having caffeine, but that was literally 12 hours before this happened. He eats organic everything. He eats super healthy. I'm saying, like, what else could this be but stress, you know? And probably the stress of having to deal with me.
I don't understand. Like, is this something where they have to use a defibrillator?
Well, that's what happened. That what they said was they put him on intravenous blood thinners and stuff to like make his heartbeat go back to normal. And that was going on overnight. And we fucking cried and laughed and whatever. And then the next morning, they're like, okay, you have to go into the hospital, like not just the emergency room. We're checking you in. So then we go into the hospital. And that's when I climbed in bed with him and never got out. I refused to get out. And like in a few hours, this woman came in. A nurse, not some woman. She's like, oh, no, you can't be in bed with him. And I was like, ha, ha, ha. And I did this, like, crazy psycho laugh and, like, made crazy eyes at her. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
She'd know, like, I was not something to be trifled with. So she was like, fuck. And she just left. And no one ever tried to get me out of the bed again.
Right.
So once he was in and his doctor came and saw him and a cardiologist came and saw him. And they're like, okay, here's the deal. We're going to schedule defibrillation for you for tomorrow at 2 p.m. So we're going to try to use the IV meds to get everything back to normal before then. But if not, we're going to fucking be all clear and put the panels on you and boom and all that shit. Which I really didn't want to happen.
Wow.
And then he was on the medication. We sat in bed together a lot. Thank God he didn't need defibrillation. Just a few hours before that, it went back to normal.
What are the medications other than the blood thinners?
Well, I can't remember. I knew all the names and like Googled them all then, but yeah. I can't remember, honestly.
So what about now? So what's next?
So he left the hospital about 4 p.m. that day.
Yeah.
That was on Friday, I think. Yeah. And it was really scary, Madge. I mean, he's taking now aspirin, you know, just straight up aspirin, which is so good. And then he's on a beta blocker medication to like keep it. He has slightly elevated blood pressure. So to keep his blood pressure low and keep his heartbeat nice and steady.
Which beta blocker is it?
It's called, by the way, did you take your pill tonight, babe? You did? Okay.
I take beta block. I used to take beta blockers when I had cluster headaches. Which one
really?
Was it? Cal, I think I'm with the C. Cunt face?
No, you probably took Coumadin.
No.
Mm-mm. No, that's a blood thinner. A really common one, and it's given for headaches a lot, too. But anyway, this one is called Metoprolol.
Prolapse?
Metoprolapse.
I'd have never taken her. I would remember Meloprolapse for sure.
Meloprolapse. I wish it was a Meloprolapse, my poor sweetie.
So he's on that. What else? Is that it? And the blood thinner?
Well, no, that's both.
Okay.
It's a blood thinner. No more blood thinner. Sorry. So, that was just while he was in the hospital.
But now is the beta blocker.
Beta blocker and the aspirin.
So what's
beta blocker and then, blood pressure.
And then what's the follow-up care?
Well, I'm supposed to blow him 5 times a day. Very tired.
Seriously?
No, I mean, we just went to the doctor today. They checked his blood pressure and did an electrocardiogram. They said everything looked great and his blood pressure was perfect, maybe a little lower than normal.
Yeah.
And he was really pleased with everything. And he said he should just go back to normal life, except for without like abject levels of stress from shit bags who don't treat him well.
I think he needs a better aftercare plan.
And no alcohol or caffeine, obviously.
I think he needs a better aftercare plan than that, something more aggressive.
Well, what do you think, Matt?
Well, I think he needs... I used to work in a hospital where we had something very unusual, and most hospitals don't have this. But we had a huge... it was basically a huge gym, but it was equipped with doctors and nurses. So it was sort of aftercare. It was mainly for people with heart attacks, but I imagine that this could be a prank. Obviously, I'm not a doctor, though I am a lesbian. But, you know, but they had this whole specialized...
I have to pee, so I'm taking in the bathroom with me, Kay.
Yeah, but they had this whole system worked out, you know, where they had, it's basically a gym, like any gym you would go to, except it was all monitored by nurses. So you would, and they would take your pulse every day, and everybody's hooked up to an EKG, the people that are high risk.
Yep.
And I mean, basically what I think is he needs it sounds like he needs a good plan of monitored exercise. And
well, I agree, and I find it appalling that even here in Santa Monica, like even today, the doctor did not even ask him about his diet. Like, thank God he's a Reiki practitioner, he's a Reiki healer, he knows how to take care of himself and eat well and exercise, but like for all he knows, he's eating like 5 bacon cheeseburgers a damn day. They don't even ask that. They don't even concern themselves with exercise. Or I mean, just thank God he knows what's up. And luckily for him, I'm a fucking personal trainer, remember?
But yes, I know. But does he exercise?
He's like more, I mean, thank God he doesn't exercise the way I do. I know he was like, I'm going to come take your class now, babe. I was like, I don't recommend it. Like people leave to vomit. And like I see black spots even when I'm teaching. It'll fucking kill you faster than anything.
Well, he doesn't have to take shadow dancing. I mean, there is some, I mean, maybe
he needs to like be taking walks and doing yoga and shit like that.
He needs one of these places that were like where I used to work, and I'm sure they have them. You know, where they have care for people, and I'm sure they'd be happy to have him because they can get his insurance money if he has any.
Yeah.
And I would
monitor
something
exercise.
Like that. Yeah. You know, they hook you up to an EKG, you exercise, and you get to be, you know, because you know it is sure it's risky when you come back to, you know, to exercise after an episode because you don't know what's going to happen. But this way, you're monitored. They see your heart and all that, and you know, this is how people who are 80 years old who have heart attacks can come back to complete health.
I know.
And they've had recent studies where people have had these amazing recoveries, even at really old age from heart simply from having a proper regimen like this. So I don't think it's good enough to send them home and say, well, that was great. That's over. Because that doesn't address the cause. I'll shut up.
Madge, I'm on your side. I agree with you completely. He needs to be undertaking a regimen of exercise. Right. I would feel better if he was hooked up to a heart monitor or EKG or something as he did it. It's not possible. It is possible for me to monitor his pulse rate.
You can get but a Holter monitor.
The thing about the monitoring and stuff, it's not so much that makes me feel better. It's that if, God forbid, something happened, they're already in a hospital.
Well, what about those defibrillator machines? You can put them in your house.
I have them in my gym everywhere. I don't want him to get to the point where he needs to be defibrillated.
Right. No, I understand.
I don't be like, oh, the nice fucking 500 jumping jacks. Let me pull out the defibrillator. Clear. Fuck that.
Well, I mean, if it hasn't happened for 7 years, chances are it's not going to happen for a while. But
I think it could never happen again if he changes his life.
But if he's just having a couple beers and you said he has stress, it doesn't sound like he's really doing anything high risk.
But you know what? This is what I think about this stuff, honestly. He doesn't do anything high risk.
Okay.
Except have a lot of stress and himself to be dishonored for a very long time by certain people in his life. And I really think, like, literally it's breaking his heart. And I know you may think I'm stupid, but hear me out.
I don't know what the situation is. That can definitely cause a shitload of stress. Yeah. Trust me, I understand this.
But not knowing
the situation, how can I?
I can't tell you. I can't talk about the situation because honestly, it's not my life. But you'll just have to take my word for it. But this is what I think. I mean, I don't even know why Chris likes me. He is like the most.
Well, he might be an idiot. This could be part of the illness he has.
He is mildly retarded.
He might have had a stroke in which the intelligence part of his brain died.
He probably had
died.
A stroke right when he met me, and that he's been like just fucked up ever since. He doesn't even know because when I first met him and hugged him, I anapaquined him, and that was it.
What I want to know is how did it impact you when that happened, and how did it change the way you were. Relationship. How did it change your relationship, if any?
You know, it's funny because we've talked about that, but I would like to get back. If you type this in under Flake Chocolate Bar and my book, I want to talk about like why I think this happened.
I added one that isn't about you, which is Madonna Eat Out. So what comes after Madonna Eat Out?
Chris's elevation. That will remind me of everything. His elevation rate and his elevated mind state.
Got it.
This is how it changed our relationship. It didn't really do anything except deepen it because it's so funny. I was telling him, like, even when we were sitting in the hospital, I was like, man, you know, this would all be like a bad, cheesy, made-for-TV movie if I was like a fucking spoiled, ungrateful cunt who'd been being a bitch to you all day on her birthday. But, like, I could not love or appreciate Christopher Beale any more than I already do. You know what I mean? It's like, it would be one of those things where like, whoa, wake up, Gaul. I was really taking
you
for granted.
So it wasn't like Brian's song.
No. Ugh, it's not good.
Isn't that Brian's song?
Yep. And do you remember also
God,
the movie
about Terry,
the guy who had cancer and he had to have his leg cut off and then he walked out, like walked cross country anyway and his hair grew back curly after chemo?
No.
Well, anyway,
go ahead, though. That would have tortured
me and Chris, I mean, let's be honest, like we met July 1st, you know, so we're still in the honeymoon phase of our relationship anyway. You know what I mean?
Right.
But I mean, I've just never had a bad feeling about him, Madge. Like I wake up every day and I'm like, oh my God, I am the luckiest bitch on earth. Like I am so blessed to be with this man.
Well, you got half that right, at least.
I know. Like sensitive, intelligent, amazing, you know, just fucking rad guy. Like,
rad.
I'm so. What?
Rad?
Yeah. I'm so in love with him.
Do
you know,
people
so
say rad?
It's me. So there's no like wake up call to be had in terms of that from when we were in the hospital.
We might need to go to the list soon.
What?
We might need to go to the list.
I know. You asked me how it changed our relationship, but I will say this. We seriously had a good time somehow. Like we laughed a lot. You know what I mean?
Like a Liza Minnelli good time? Like a good time, but a pathetic?
Not quite that.
It was a good time. It was the best time. Give me some heroin.
Or like Judy Garland good time.
Same difference.
Nuh-uh.
No?
Dude, if you had to choose between being Judy or Liza, you would choose Judy.
I would choose neither. I don't want
to. If you had to choose.
That is retarded. We're not even. No, I would be Bette Midler.
Well, obviously. Come on.
Yeah, which dead person? Oh, wait. Well, Liza isn't dead. I'll choose Liza because she's not dead. How's that?
Oh, please. I mean, I'm. Anyway.
Simple as
we had a, we had
Liza.
A lot of laughs. We had a lot of food. I went out and bought him lots of food and snuck it in. We had a good time. When he got out of the hospital, he was very, very tired. And that was like a little bit hard to see, you know.
How long was he in altogether?
Pretty much 48 hours, almost like 45 hours, 44 hours.
Oh, wow.
And me too. I was in bed too.
Yeah, I know.
Don't forget about my suffering.
Yeah. Well, that's more important, actually.
I know. No, but seriously, then he came home and he was very, very tired the first few days. It's scary. I mean, he's fucking 41 and lives the most perfectly healthy life I've ever seen. And I just love him so much. And I just want him to be well.
Yeah.
And the last few days, seemed a little more spry and healthy and perky. But I mean, as soon as he got his color back, he's making like remember like when Beavis and Butthead would like do their weird hump and slap thing?
Yeah.
He's doing that right now. He wants to know like he's still able to have lots of healthy sex.
I don't understand. Beavis and Butthead didn't fuck each other. What in the hell?
I know,
you
but
lost
remember
me.
When they hear like hip hop music and they'd start humping and slapping?
Oh, that?
Yeah.
He does that?
Well, I've never seen him do it before, but he just did it just now.
Ooh, I don't think I like that. That's a symptom of.
I know. Well, he's very white and British.
Uh-huh.
Very white and very British.
Right.
He's having trouble understanding that you even did that, so I'm trying to explain.
Yeah. I don't get that. All right, the list. We got to go to the list. We got to go to the list. Flake.
Go ahead.
Chocolate.
Delicious.
Delicious. Book.
Was it completely flat as a pancake by the time it got to you, or was it still like...
It was quite cylindrical.
Nice.
You know, it reminded me a little bit of the inside of a Three Musketeer, somewhat of a Kit Kat, and a little bit Butterfinger.
Really?
A little bit Butterfinger, yeah.
Now, let me ask you this.
Uh-huh.
Do you remember back in the day, I'm talking like late 70s, not even into the 80s, I don't think, when Nestle had a bar called Nestle Whip, and it was a chocolate bar, and
Whip?
It was almost like, like Nestle Crunch,
Whip.
But it had little air bubbles in it.
Isn't that like a Crackle bar? Not Crackle, Nestle's Crunch.
Not Nestle Crunch. That has Rice Krispies in it. Just
then,
like
no,
Nestle
I don't
Crunch,
remember.
Except for just...
I don't remember the fluff bar that you're talking about. No, the whip.
The
whip. I don't remember no whip.
Well,
what about
they
whip?
Have it in England. It's called Jairus, but the flake is kind of like that.
Wow.
I don't find it to be like anything like a Three Musketeers or whatever else the fuck you're talking about. Kit Kat, because it's pure chocolate. There's nothing in it but chocolate.
Yeah. Well, then I'm wrong. Okay.
I'm not saying you're wrong. I just have experience of the flake bar. That's all. I'm glad it came out cylindrical.
The book.
So you ate the first one really fast, right? Right when you left the house. I'm sure you just.
I ate it on the way.
What about the second one?
I ate it when I got home. I shoved it in my hole.
Did you eat it really fast, too?
How could I not?
No, I do, too. I can't even stop
myself. But didn't it have, like, Arabic writing on it or something?
Yes. Okay. I don't know what's up with that. We had recently gotten flake bars at a... I know. The British love terrorists.
Yeah.
No, I had recently gotten a flake bar at another store, and we were like, why does it have Arabic on it? And we're like, ha-ha, they must get it imported from some random place. But then we got those at, like, this British store called Continental Shop, and it had Arabic writing on it, too. And, I mean, you know, I'm a big fan of Arabic. I think it's lovely.
Yeah.
So there you go.
Okay, your book and Mod Podge are next.
Did you really read my book, some of it?
Yeah.
Really? What'd you read?
The part where you swear a lot.
Shut up. Did you read a story?
Mm-hmm. Don't ask me to remember anything. You know my reading comprehension.
I'm not asking
terrible.
You to remember. I'm just curious if you actually read a story. I'm not asking you to remember anything.
Yes, I'm in it. I am in it. It is the only book I am interested in at the moment.
Really?
But I don't have enough information to give you a worthwhile discussion of it.
That was... I'm easily pleased, Madge. I'm so flattered.
Well,
right
you
now.
Are a
I'm
moron.
Freaking out.
Mm-hmm. I think your writing is... I mean, your poetry is amazing, so I don't see how it wouldn't be the book. But
do you like how the cover, like the picture on the back?
Well, I have to say what I would have liked more is a quote from Madge Weinstein in addition to the other very famous people
You're
who
like,
gave accolades.
This filthy whore is mildly retarded. Madge Weinstein. He's great.
Exactly. Okay, Madonna Eat Out. No, Mod Podge, Mod Podge. Any news on the Mod Podge front? Did you use your new multicolored Mod Podges?
I actually did. I used the glitter one, of course. Like, which one would I choose?
Do you think maybe the Mod Podge glue is what triggered the defibrillation or whatever? Was it the smell?
I don't, because it's safe for the day room,
yeah, but
non-toxic.
Remember you said the fumes were so awful? Did he smell the fumes,
That was
too?
From the Envirotex. Envirotex.
Whatever.
Well, I did think of that, Madge. I was like, maybe he got toxic shock from the Envirotex back then.
Right.
Well, I will tell you this. It is not very pleasant cooking for him while I am fasting.
Okay, but we're on Mod Podge.
Okay, so yes, I tried out the Glitter Mod Podge. It's very exciting, and I'm on to a new project. I'm making a very cool collage of the scene of the Garden of Eden, of the serpent tempting Eve.
Anish Klug Kurva.
And I'm using the glittery glue to do it, and I made the serpent myself out of Sculpey. You know about Sculpey?
No. Do we need a fucking picture?
No, it's just like a little square of clay.
Curva.
So I made the serpent out of Sculpey, and then I covered him in green glitter, and the serpent is going to have my face, and Adam is going to have my face, and Eve is going to have my face.
Do you not care that I'm swearing at you in Yiddish?
No, I really don't. I'm used to it. I tune it out.
Oh.
So
you know how I got these Yiddish words? I actually had to use it. I did a lot of research. I had to use it. You know, I'm doing this show, The Untitled Show. And I wanted to say some nasty things about Sarah Palin in Yiddish. I called my mother. Nice. She didn't know enough words because I wanted to say a stupid bitch, which is what I just called you.
I'm sure. Did she go schmuck?
That's no, they know. They know to say like Yiddish words, but they don't know how to put the sentence together for a lot of things. So anyway, I from my mother, I found, well, no, from the internet and joys of Yiddish, I found a shanda for the goyim, which means she's a shame on the goyim. She's a shame. You know, the non-Jews should be embarrassed. The Christians should be embarrassed by this thing.
They really should, yeah.
So that one I already had. But you know how I got the better insult? I called my, and this is worse. Oh, I just realized I can't say. No, sorry. It's a public,
where you got the word from?
It's a public figure, okay. So I can't. Yeah, and I promised I wouldn't, so never mind. But I got it from a public figure. And her cousin, actually.
Was it Oprah?
I'm not saying who it was.
Just tell me if it was Oprah.
The insult is Anish Klug Kurva, which literally means a not smart bitch. But I used another one, so I had to overdub it, because I found this after I already recorded the script. The original word I used was
Oh, who knows? It was, no, I care. I know you do too, right? You like words because you're a poet or whatever. Let's see. Pussy eating. No, it's not under pussy eating. No, that isn't it. Tit. Is that tit? Is that it? Tit? Oh, that isn't tit. Hello? Are you there? Rachel? What happened? Did I kill her? Maybe she went into a... Hello? The fuck? Hold on, Rachel. Okay, Rachel, I know you can hear me now, right? Say yes.
Can you hear me or
yeah,
what?
Yeah. My Skype freaks out at 45. I'm sorry. We're back. Okay.
Do you hear me?
I want to just... Yes, I hear you. You're on now. But I wanted to read you this, the new word that I used that was wrong.
Okay, I'm waiting.
I know. So, okay, I said, I nourish a klafta. I nourish a klafta, because klafta is like a certain sort of juicy whore. And then when I talked about Judith Miller, who is now working for Fox News, I said, I hate that nafka, which is a street whore.
Nice.
So if you need to call somebody a street whore in Yiddish, this is like school. Nafka. Now, klafta, nobody I talked to heard of. So I don't, and I kind of made the sentence together from the little bit I know of different Germanic languages. I nourish a klafta, but I don't think it means nothing. I'm sure somebody German or Jewish or concentration camp survivor in the audience can tell me. There's a lot of them here. A Shanda for de Goyim, but
you.
I think that's funny. You're a Shanda for de Goyim. You're a Shanda for the lesbian. No, you're just a Shanda for something. I like to say a pox on Sir Isaac Newton and his bastards on the calculus, but that wouldn't have been appropriate for Governor Palin's. Okay, I'm afraid our next topic is the inevitable Madonna eat out.
Hey, go ahead.
Well, I had a little bit, I wouldn't call it a date, Rachel. The reason I was late in recording this, I was a half hour late. The reason is because I accidentally, underscore that, I accidentally got slightly eaten out. Okay.
By Madonna.
No. It's one sentence to explain a lot. It's like a memory lapse thing. That's why Madonna didn't eat me out. No, God forbid. I would have had to brush my vagina. Oh, that's not funny. I would have washed my vagina out. What's up? Brush, put Purell enema in my vagina. Can you imagine Madonna eating? Ugh, the thing, the germs
ugh,
in that.
It's horrible.
So anyway, no.
I love talking about Madonna with Chris, because I love talking about Madonna with the actual British people and being how do you feel about her taking your people's accent?
We're going there. Forget the accent. What about my name? Okay, so I got eaten out, and it was quite, I have to say, useful, pleasurable. I got eaten out.
Where were you when you got eaten? Were you at your place?
No, I was at somebody else's apartment down the street.
That must have been very close by, because you made it home lickety split.
In 20 minutes, but it was so fucking windy out, and the wind was in my direction. It was like 20 mile an hour wind, so I was like Mary fucking Poppins, like whoosh. I mean, here I live in Chicago. I'm not in L.A. Everything's close. And I ride the bicycle later, like a broom. So I got eaten out.
Can I finish this?
It's important. Really?
No, really. By all means, please do.
Okay. Do you need me to write something down?
No.
Okay. So I get eaten out. I thought this is really was a nice eat out. I was relaxed. I got the poison out, so to speak. My vagina got juiced. Okay. And, now, do you have any questions about that portion of the story before I go into the Madonna aspect?
No, this sounds good so far.
Okay, so we're laying there, and I'm thinking, And she's like, well, we should do this again. I thought, sure, yeah, I enjoyed that. I didn't really have to do anything other than get eaten out, so that's fine. And then, her phone rang, and it was some weird song that I never heard. Probably some pop. Could have been Madonna. Who knows?
Who knows?
And she says, oh, that was my best friend. All of a sudden, she's political. I said, oh? She said, yes, ever since we went to the Madonna concerts, I said, oh. She said, yes. She didn't know that Madonna is political. I said, I didn't either. She said, yes, she did this song about Darfur and the polar bears and all this. And she showed a video of, Bono and Oprah and said, you know, that these people are political. And, you know, and yeah, they're not like donating every penny, but aren't they great? And Madonna's great. So he said he spent $450 on this ticket. And then he bought one again. And his friend didn't want to go, so he bought his friend's ticket for the next show. She, am I saying he? God, I have Alzheimer's. So then she said...
I was hearing she.
Then she said her friend liked Madonna so much after being dragged where she had to pay for a ticket. She liked it so much that she had to... She scrounged her change together off the floor to get to $450 to go herself. They went to this concert like, I don't know, six times. Okay, so I'm like trying to get out at this point. I'm like, oh my God, Madonna fan. That's like, that's the only thing in my world that I will rule somebody out, you know?
Yeah, deal breaker.
Madonna fan, you couldn't. I mean, I should have known from the shirt. Right. So then as I'm leaving, I'm like, oh, Madonna, that's great. And I'm just kind of backing out like you do from a serial killer. Like, huh, wow, political. Oh, a video? Oh, what's it called? I'll Google it. Send me the link. Seriously. It's like, wow, a documentary? But Darfur, Madonna? Oh, that's great. I got to see that. That's must see. I how could I have lived my life and not known this? How could I have not known that Madonna is political? It certainly couldn't be part of her trend following to suck cock. Okay, fine. And then I finally get out, and that's right when I started texting you to say I'm going to be late. Or no, I had already told you I'm going to be late because I was with her at the time. It's I was writing I got my giant eaten and right. Getting ready to text it. And then the door opens, and she comes flying out as I'm in the elevator and says, you can go to Madonna.com and buy the Obama for Madonna shirt.
Oh, my God. You mean Madonna for Obama?
Whatever. But... It was like Madonna for change with the Obama Madonna shirt. I said, thanks.
And thanks for the heads up. Goodbye.
No pun intended there. Plamped.
But, so
that's the Madonna eat out story. Questions?
I have one.
Yes.
How old was this lesbian?
I have no idea.
Well, give me a 10-year range.
30.
So like 25 to 35 or 30 to 40?
25 to 35.
Wow. Young, dumb, and full of cum is what I have to say.
Pussy juice. Thank you.
Whatever.
It was gross.
Young, dumb, and full of cum is a statement made about girls.
I'm sad about the Madonna thing because it really was nice. And then I just like, oh my God. Because, you know, I was with my friend Helen, a handbasket. She said earlier, she's like, you know, be careful, Madge. You go over to these strangers' houses, you just don't know what's going to happen because sometimes you get there and they're gorgeous as hell and they open their mouth and a purse falls out. And that's what happens. Oh, my God, I'm hepburning. That's what happened. A purse fell out of her mouth.
But, you know.
It was a big fucking huge purse from Bebe.
But listen, sometimes those things are real blessings.
Oh, yeah.
Because let's put it this way. You already let this person eat your pussy, right? You know what I'm saying?
Well, that ain't no thing.
I know, but I'm saying it's not like you're starting from like tender moments, heart to heart. You know what I mean?
Yes, I do.
There's a strong sexual element to this relationship.
There is?
If they're eating your pussy... And you don't even know how old they are yet. Yeah, I would say like sex is a strong component of the relationship.
Well, just there's because nothing there's nothing more than sex doesn't mean sex is strong either. I just needed to get eaten out a little bit.
I'm not saying you're having good sex and it's strong. I'm saying on the flow chart of this relationship, sex is sticking up more than like, say, knowing their age.
You think?
Yeah. So my point to you is you don't want to get too...
How about name? We haven't even touched that.
Yeah. So you don't even know this lesbian's name. And what I'm saying to you is...
I do know her name, but I didn't know it till before Madonna. But if I knew it after Madonna, if I didn't know before Madonna, I would...
You wouldn't have needed to know it.
Exactly.
But listen, here's my point.
Yeah.
When you... You don't want to fall. You don't want to, you know, when you get your pussy eaten, sometimes your heart gets eaten too, you know? You don't want to fall for this girl, you know? Because you've already started it on a strictly business kind of thing,
right?
You know?
Yeah.
So sometimes a thing like a Madonna fanatical twist can actually be, it's like your heart's condom. You know what I'm saying? It's protecting you from
falling.
But
if there were no Madonna, there might not need to be a condom.
Right. But you know what? You need to keep your distance because you already, you went about this bass-ackwards if you wanted to have something with this person, as you know.
Let me give you an ethical dilemma because this is a sort of a different subject, but I think it's interesting.
Okay.
I was with two friends earlier today.
You have two friends?
I have several. Earlier today, right? I was with two friends earlier, like this morning, like after I was at the gym. Mm-hmm. Nobody you know, nobody I've ever talked to about on the show. Just, you know, I have a lot of friends from where we quit eating Saddle Sutton together because it's mm-hmm. gross. But we need a support group for it because it's kind of good, except for the
eating
chicken.
What?
Seattle Sutton. Just forget it.
Oh, so, yeah. The meeting's got to go. I thought you said saddle. I
so anyway, so the both of these people were HIV positive, right? Now, one of them said that, you know, I was with her a week ago or so, and, you know, she went home with somebody. It didn't work out. I said, what happened? She said, well, I told her I was HIV positive, and she, you know, didn't want to deal with me anymore, you know, and that was it. And I said, oh, I'm sorry to hear that. You know, so we were talking about that with the other person. And the other person who didn't know this story, and I said, so whatever happened with you know, the HIV, so nothing, how far did you get? You know, were you at your house? Did you get to the street? He said, well, we were about, you know, so far. The other friend of mine who's HIV positive said, he said, well, why do you ask? Why do you tell them you're HIV positive?
Oh.
And the one queen said, well, because it's the right thing to do. Or no, he didn't say that. He said, because I like to have bareback sex.
She.
No, I don't mean she. These are men.
You called them women before.
Well, that's because they're gay men. You know, the gender thing doesn't matter. It's like a lazy Susan, okay?
Right.
She, it, her,
a lazy Susan. That's amazing.
It is. So you can steal it. So anyway, so she says, yeah, I like to have bareback sex. Now, but I know this person well enough to know that this is a very moral person, that the reason she's telling people is not because she likes to have bareback sex. That was sort of an exoskeleton. She's doing it because she really wants to do the right thing. As I know this person, this is a judgment I'm making.
I hear you.
Yeah, you know, and most people, and I said, you know, I think that's great. I really admire the fact that you can do that in this climate where so many people don't say anything or don't even discuss it. Right. And this is a young person, too. So, I thought it was extra, you know, just to see somebody that has a good sort of moral character. Well, then the other friend said, well, I can't believe that's terrible that you would have bareback sex. Like, and but the other person doesn't tell them. The other person, he just uses condoms all the time.
One uses condoms, other gives full exposure, but likes
the. Well, the other one uses condoms, except, you know, when he's getting AIDS, of course. But you know what I mean. So it was an interesting sort of, I don't know, ponderance thing where I ponder, you know, like, okay, so what do you think?
For me personally, if I had to choose which of those people to have sex with, I would always want to have full disclosure.
Yeah, me too. I mean, I think it's really hard to do. And I think like the fact that somebody is willing to do that and risk the fact that they're going to be rejected because of it, which this person has many times and yet mm-hmm. continues to do it, is admirable. And the fact that he's giving a full disclosure means that if he wants to have bareback sex, there's nothing. He has done nothing. He has made that person completely aware that not only is it possible that he is HIV positive, that he in fact is. So if if this other person chooses to have bareback sex with him, you are knowingly having sex with somebody who has definitely HIV and could very well give you the disease. Yes. As opposed to somebody who uses a condom supposedly every time that could break.
Right.
And you're not telling them.
for me, it's always about honesty. So yeah. I'm all about
anyway, I just thought it was interesting. Now, what's this? The last topic on our list was Chris's elevation.
Okay. When it comes to Chris's well-being, mm-hmm. and like why, what part of him is not healthy? What would bring this on? How much right. stress could he be under? Blah, blah, blah. I mean, right. let me tell you, Chris is like truly extraordinary human being. Like, he brings healing to people in a way of, like, I've never seen without being, like, all corny guru about it. You know what I mean? Like, he's yeah. still, like, a fucking real person who curses and is real, you
so
know?
God decides to fuck him over and give him irregular heartbeats. That's cool.
No. In a way, though, because I really believe this. I think that every time you choose... Or even when you don't choose, when you become conscious of something, whether it's people suffering in Africa or something about yourself, you can't go unconscious to that thing. You know what I mean?
No, I don't understand.
Yes, no, you do.
I don't.
Okay. Let's say you know a 5-year-old little kid. Okay.
I'm not a pedophile. That would be Cheryl. I think
you told them in the biblical times.
Okay.
You just know them.
Yeah.
Say it's your friend's kid.
Okay.
And then find out for sure. You find incontrovertible evidence that your friend is beating their child.
Okay.
You can't unknow that.
Right.
So with that knowledge comes like an onus, you know, that comes on you. That's like, yeah, you have more knowledge and more awareness. You also have, you know, a whole new responsibility from having that awareness. I think that applies. That was kind of an extreme graphic example, but it's my opinion that that applies not just to situations about other people,
yes,
but also within yourself. So Chris is like a very elevated, very conscious, very aware, amazing person. So his body is just not having it. Like when he dishonors himself by letting other people walk all over him, his body is like, really? Fuck you. You know what I mean?
Sort of.
Whereas, really don't get what I mean? Okay, well, not it's just really. A fucked up world where
I understand the first one.
Like
I understand that
beating crackhead chain smoker and not have any heart issue, but Chris is going through this.
Yeah.
My thinking about why this is happening is that the more sensitive and aware you bring yourself consciously to being, the more your body is responsive. So like it's fucked up because in a way your body gets stronger, but it's also more vulnerable, more sensitive. The more open you are, the more you let your filter down. You know what I mean?
It makes sense actually, because I think in some ways it explains why assholes live so fucking long. Like Dick
exactly.
Cheney. Yeah.
Okay. Like, thank you. People are always like, don't be all full of hate and anger because that shit will give you cancer and kill you. I have like plenty of living proof that that shit pickles your ass. You don't go anywhere. Sorry, am I boring you while you look at porn?
No. I'm just posting Eat This Hot Show for today because I get such trouble if I don't. It's been, Vera sent it to me like 8 hours ago and she will be so mad if I don't get it posted. Well, like, I'm almost done. I just have to click 2 more things.
I understand. You've got like multiple queens raging at you. I understand. It's hard to be a lesbian.
Well, no, it's one queen. It's Vera. You think Wanda gives a flying fuck if I post it now or next fucking year?
No.
Yeah.
I love Wanda.
But see, this is why Vera gets work. She fucking works her... She has the most intense work ethic of pretty much anyone I know. She's an actor. The reason she gets work is because she's a fucking work ethic from hell. She does everything she says she's going to fucking do.
I do too. I sent you the book and the flake bars, remember?
Yeah.
I used to be like that. I used to have such a work ethic. Oh, what an ethic I had. I used to work so hard.
I mean, I feel like I have that, like, I really try to keep my word, you know, like that's why like I called you even though I was getting my vagina eaten. I said, I got to call this man.
I was so flattered. I mean, I really was. I'm just flattered that
I called you from a trick.
Think of me.
Yeah, because I don't like, because I want you to be there. You know, on Wednesday at 11. And if you're not there, it's the golden shower. It's like, if you're going to, you know, how would I feel if you're not there when I call? Well, I would get over it. You know, it's not that big a deal.
But you want to have integrity. You want to be a person of honor.
Right. So is that what you meant by elevation?
I was just going to say, be careful you don't give yourself a heart attack.
I thought you meant like elevation, like elevating your feet above your heart or something.
No, but I was saying it did have multiple meanings because he did have an elevated heart rate. But
what do you mean you cut it off?
Ah. Oh, that is really what I think, though. I mean, the way I think about things nowadays is like things are happening on like quantum levels at once. You know, it's like, how did it happen in the material world? Like, yes, he had coffee at lunch and a beer and two beers later, and maybe that's what did it. Mm-hmm. How is it happening on the spiritual world level? How is it happening on the energetic level? How is it happening on the karmic level? You know, I think that it's not like, oh, this was some, you know, food related shit.
No, I think what you're saying makes a lot of sense, actually.
Thank you.
You know, there's a lot of things that go into that. A will to live is something, you know, and this is not what related to Chris's thing, but we were talking about this. I was talking about this with some friends the other day. Like, why do some people? No, I was actually talking about, because I mean, look, I've talked about this before, but I'm not joking when I tell you that probably 80 to 90% of my friends have HIV. I was talking in a room with people yesterday. One of them was 15 years. The other was 20 years HIV survivors, right? And then one of them said, you know, they were talking about it. And they're just like, well, you just have a fighting spirit, you know?
Yeah.
And like, they're both like, realized, well, yeah, you know, that's true.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I've known people, and I, you know, I've known people, I mean, actually Gussie, who just, I mean, honestly, to be perfectly frank, I mean, she really didn't have a fighting spirit, and that's nothing to be, that's not in any way a judgment, obviously.
Right.
But it's like, she didn't really want to fight to live. She didn't really want to suffer. And she had suffered so much during her life, especially during childhood, that she just didn't want to. You know, and it's a hard discussion to talk about, to have, because it involves a lot of uncomfortable honesty.
It's hard to talk about with certain people, but not with me. Like, I understand.
Well, it's easier I'm a lesbian, so it's kind of like a man. I talk much more honestly when I do with other men like you.
Yeah. But I mean, really, you know, we think of things that way, but, you know, we just were talking about the opposite thing too, with people that are just anger and bitter, just like living and living and living and not dying, which I have many examples of. Right. So there's a lot of different ways that these things manifest.
And there's also, these aren't by any means rules. I mean, there are people who fight like hell and they still die young.
Right.
You know,
right. That's
so, you know, it can come off as really insulting. Like when you say those people on Oprah that'll say, well, you know, if you die of cancer, it's your own fucking fault. You didn't fight it.
Right.
It's a complicated thing and there's many factors.
Right. I agree completely. And what I was going to say is that this whole like fight to live thing, I mean, yes, it's part of human nature, like whatever. Living thing nature to try to continue to live kind of, but it's very Western. I mean, we're very in our Western head about this life being so important. You know what I mean?
Oh, absolutely.
So, you know, we talk about, this will to live and it being an uncomfortable conversation to talk about, you know, Gussie not wanting to fight, but like, I get it. You know what I mean? And I don't mean I get it like a, disgruntled 18-year-old goth kid. Like, I get it, you know?
And you know what? I'll tell you something else. When you're in bed or when you're in a room with somebody who's suffered so fucking much and it continues to suffer, whether they have cancer or whatever it is, I don't care how, you know, sometimes you want it to be over and you want their suffering to stop.
Completely.
You know?
Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, me and Chris were actually kind of laughing about, not, I mean, yeah, kind of laughing because we're cynical and dark and we can laugh at this shit. But the first night when we were in the hospital and he went at a point where he was feeling really, really scared, because you know how that goes. It goes, you go back and forth and take each other, like 1.1 person will be really scared and then the other person. And I was like, babe, you know what? Because we're both the kind of people that really get that this life is such a small blip on the radar. Whether, you know, we're talking about stuff, life after death stuff, whatever happens next, this is just a blip, you know? And I was like,
yeah,
go ahead.
I just wanted to tell you, I finished posting the Eat This Hut Show, but it's a really good title. I just wanted to tell you what it is.
Tell me.
Eat This Hut Show number 65, Wanda Wisdom, the Martha Stewart of Lansing Boils.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
Did she really have good advice about Lansing Boils?
It was the most disgusting thing I've ever heard.
Oh, I love talking about anything to do with boils or blackheads or zits.
It was ridiculously horrifying for me.
Did she have one that had to get lanced?
I cannot talk about it. Just hear the show. It is so revolting. It is just revolting what she did to herself.
Was it just a zit or a boil?
It was really something horrible. And I
was it like an ingrown hair on her pubic region?
We're getting real close to that. Yeah, but that's all I'm going to say.
I can't wait to listen. This is a great teaser. I won't make you say anymore because I can't wait to listen. I mean, I love to pop a zit or a blackhead. One time I had this fucking ingrown hair on my bikini line.
Oh, God.
And it was so bad, Match. It was like, at first I thought it was an ingrown hair.
Did we not talk about this before?
I tell it all the time.
But I had the same thing.
And then when I popped it, it made an audible sound. Oh, it was all snap. Remember?
But, no, that I don't remember. I just remember when I had it and it stunk. But we talked
No, mine did not have a smell.
Well, it wasn't a good one.
It had a smell.
You're going to totally puke when you hear this, Shogram.
Oh, my God. I'm going to fucking be sick right now. There's nothing in me but crazy, like, ionic fruit juice, vitamin B shit from my goddamn fucking fat.
You're such a faggot.
I know. Okay, listen, let me go back to my deep thoughts and let's fucking put this bitch to bed.
Then we're
going to
end because 73
Please.
Minutes. We
That's
never
what I
end.
Just said. Put the bitch to bed.
Okay.
But Chris was, we was feeling scared and I was like, babe, you know what? As much as both of us might like to fucking check out of this life and check out the next world, like, that's just not what's going to happen for us. You know what I mean? Like, you can just feel it in your bones. Like, there are certain people that want to live at all costs. It's a very Western thing. Like this life at all costs.
Yeah.
I don't have that.
I don't either.
I know you don't. That's why we can relate.
This is an interesting story that somebody just sent me.
What? Tell me.
The FDIC will soon be charging banks 13 cents for every $100 on deposit for this service. What service?
Depositing money.
Oh, my God.
But don't think that's necessarily
true. It's
insurance.
Oh, yeah. Where is it from?
Snopes it up, babe.
Florence. It's from ING. That's a huge bank.
Yeah, but just because it looks like it's from ING doesn't mean it is, Matt. Come on.
Well, I'm pretty sure this is, but yeah.
Okay, I believe it because our financial system is collapsing in on itself.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, that's a horrible thing. And Florencer sent it, and she doesn't. She usually checks things for that first.
Well, that's good.
Okay, well, let's end because that's a horrible way to end. Boils and being charged for the federal deposit insurance that's supposed to be.
And like fucking sitting in the hospital worried who's going to die.
I've talked about this millions of times, but I want to emphasize it. Why don't we get healthcare paid for and just raise money for wars? Why don't we have, you know, marathons to raise money for the war in Iraq? Why don't we have a bike, you know, race across America for the war? You know why? Because nobody will fucking do it.
Exactly.
And that should fucking tell you something, shouldn't it?
Why don't you just get that goddamn stupid bumper sticker that says it'll be a great day when the, you know, churches get all the money and the war has to have a bake sale.
Yeah, that is a good bumper sticker. And I am a lesbian, but the problem is I have nothing to put it on.
What about your bike?
I have no bumper. The bike is tiny. It's really hard. The only bumper sticker I have, it's a sticker. First of all, a bumper sticker doesn't fit on a bike. The only sticker I have is an Amnesty International one. So, you know, if you can fit that onto like a Post-it size Oh, yeah. Rachel, that's ridiculous. I don't have to dignify that with a response.
I know. I can't believe you are dignifying it with a response. I'm just fucked. I'm going to have to get a bike, too. Remember, I crashed my car. That girl, that crazy bitch drove into me. Remember?
Right. I also remember that it was absolutely not your fault in any way.
It wasn't. Even the insurance says that.
So why don't they pay for it? What's the big deal?
They are going to pay for what they think my car is worth, but I just got the car in April.
Oh, that's right, and it's a Ford Schick or something like that.
Yeah, exactly. So because of that, I'm still going to owe a lot of money.
Congratulations. Well, it's time to go.
And I have this stupid fucking Mac with a USB port that doesn't even work that's now under $1,000 at the store, and I can't even have any food.
Been there. Well, at least we've had nice bookends. We have the beginning and the end match. The Mac.
But you know what I tell Chris all the time? Like, I have all that shit wrong, but I for some reason, he likes me. I don't know why.
Well, may your vagina not smell like the Subway.
My vagina smells great.
I meant the restaurant Subway. It smells like yeast.
It doesn't. Anyway, it smells fabulous.
Okay. Well, Rachel, it's been nice, you know, Gesundheit to Chris. I hope that he is feeling better, and I hope that that you can find some good aftercare since his doctor obviously didn't give a fuck.
I know. So, it's so weird.
But you'll do that.
I know. I want to hear more about your life next time it's we talk. Stupid. I feel like we've been talking all about me this whole time. I want to hear about yoga class. And
oh,
I want to hear-
yeah. That's so different. Okay.
Can I tell you one thing?
Yes.
I'm very good at finding deals. You know that?
Wow. You just proved that with your Mac, didn't you?
Yeah, I know. I really fucked up that time. I know. I usually, listen, let me clarify, I'm very good at finding deals.
I'll give you one piece of advice now that everybody's gone. I got Apple to completely replace my G5 with a brand new Mac Pro. Two things.
Why?
Perseverance is one, of course.
Always, yeah. Stubborn Jew.
The only way you're going to have any luck with Apple is... you call corporate headquarters. What
do
I
do? You have
did,
the number?
It's on Apple's website. It's like,
really?
It's on the contact page. Yeah. You can call their public relations department. This is what I'm just telling you what I did. Call.
No, I love it. Public relations and corporate headquarters. Yeah. I'm going to do it.
They call you, call public relations. They'll say, if you are a member of the news media, hold on. If you're not, please press some other number, which sends you straight to hell, right?
I am a member of the news media.
Exactly, you are. So what I did is I just said, hey, you know, I'm a member. I shouldn't give this out. I might even cut it out of the show because I don't like to give my secrets out. But you say, this is Madge Weinstein from Pod Show, you know, and I hate to bother you with this, but blah, 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 blah. And then they put me straight through to Steve Jobs' personal secretary. And then they assign somebody, you know, and then from that point on, you're in like, you know, the first class cabin. You know,
sounds,
I mean?
Great. I'm gonna do it. But why do you hate sharing this stuff? It's not like
because it'll ruin it. It'll ruin it.
I disagree. You didn't. It's not like your listeners can all pretend they have a show. Everything you said was true. You didn't just share some secret hustle. That's all true.
It's not like my listeners can pretend they have a show. What kind
they
of?
They can, but you do have a show.
And you have a vagina, and you're a man. And I have a vagina and I'm a woman.
I know. And I have a very tiny penis that I call clitoris.
And I have to go.
Okay. Well, I didn't even get to make my point, which is that I got a very good deal on a hotel room and I'm going to be in Catalina next week, but I will be speaking to you from Catalina because I made sure we had a room with free Wi-Fi. So me and Chris are going out of town so that he can relax and we can walk on the beach and just remember what's
important. You know what, Rachel? The shoemaker's daughter, who can hardly see. She's almost blind. If you're taking a week off, you can take a week off from this show, too, you know.
I don't want to.
Okay.
I love you.
Well,
you're uncomfortable with that word, but I'm just saying I am crazy about you. I do love you. If I was going to take a week off, it would have been my birthday.
I don't. Probably should have. Anyway, okay, we're too Jewish to end, but we're going to end.
Let's play, will you play Never Can Say Goodbye at the end by Jackson 5?
Oh, if you email it to me before I post the show, absolutely.
I'll email it right now. I love you.
And send me some poet thing of yours for the beginning. Short, okay. Though, not 80 minutes.
I will.
Okay, bye. Thanks.
I love you forever, Matt. Okay. Talk to you next week.
Bye. Four.
What in the hell more do you have to hear, for God's sake? What in the hell more do you have to hear?